Berylum Sports.
Hello and welcome to the Verulam Sport Podcast. Every week, the team behind the award-winning Radio Verulam Sports Show will provide you with the most relevant news from the local and regional sporting scenes, whilst keeping you in the picture with national and international bulletins from the world of sport. There will be topical debates, regular interviews from local talent, and chats with those big-name guests that are a mainstay of Verulam Sport. As always, this is your show, every bit as much as it is ours. So, check out Verulam Sport across social media and get involved. For now, prepare yourself for this week's action-packed Verulam Sport Podcast. Hello again and welcome to Verulam Sport Podcasting. And it's fair to say, isn't it? It's been a bit of a peculiar and surreal year, the year of our Lord 2020. But we were delighted that sport is filtering back. And just last week, it was the first major in tennis of the year, the first Grand Slam, the US Open. And to inform us all about that, review it, and build up to the great work that Batchwood Tennis Club do for the community from a tennis perspective and a health and fitness and well-being perspective too. We're delighted to be joined by John Meredith. John, welcome back to Verulam Sport Podcasting. How are you? Yes.
Yeah, it's great to be back. Hopefully on the up now, getting back and getting going again. So great to speak to you today.
John, it's always a pleasure. And I tell you what, the last time we were talking, we were building up, of course we were, to the US Open. Delighted that it got underway. Loads to dissect. Andy Murray, though, do have to address him. Got through the first round and then was comprehensively, I think it's fair to say, beaten by a talented Canadian in Olga Alisame. That young man is a name to, I think, focus in on for the future. Andy Murray, very much at the twilight of his career. Great to see him perform. But do you feel as though we have definitely seen the best of Andy Murray in the past now?
It's looking that way, isn't it? It is looking that way. I think, you know, he had a good sort of first match. But I think it was, you know, substantially took it out of him. And then after that, I think the recovery is the issue. But I think he's going to have a run of events to try and get that match fitness back up. Interestingly, the guy who beats him, Felix, I guess, Ogier Aligisime or something like that. I saw him, he won the US Open Juniors when he was 16. And just after that, I was at the Junior Fed Cup in Budapest and I saw him there. And, you know, everyone was sort of touting him as a future top player then. So people have known about him for quite a while. But I think with Murray, it's going to be tough, isn't it? You know, and I think he accepts that, but just loves competing.
Yeah, that's the competitive nature is really the emblem of the great Scott. We'll continue to watch his career. It has been a stellar career. It certainly has been a stellar career for Serena Williams, of course, chasing the elusive 24th slam. Last time we spoke, John, we kind of speculated that maybe the lack of action in this peculiar year, the lack of in-game train time leading in to the US Open, might have played into Serena's natural physical strengths. Again, you were saying that she actually took out some of the US court to train on in a home environment. Again, included her though, losing out as she did to Victoria Azarenka. Serena Williams, again at the twilight of her career, again hunting that elusive 24th slam. Do you think that maybe this one was the best chance, or do you think there's still a few more
chances? There's still a few more chances, you know, probably over the next year or two. She just needs to get on a streak and, and all the variables and the stars to sort of collide. I think, you know, that was interesting, the battle of the mums, wasn't it? But with Azarenka, I mean, she's been an absolute top-notch player over the years, Azarenka. I think a former world number one. And you know, she's sort of not been around for a while, but she's sort of come back. I mean, as far as obviously gets harder as they get older, but there's no reason why over the next year or so she couldn't do it. Probably not on the clay, but if we have a Wimbledon in 21, you know, that's obviously a big factor if we have these events, you know, next year. But if we have a Wimbledon in 2021, even if there's not a crowd, maybe, but she's on the fast grass courts. She's always got a shout, hasn't she, with her serve and her weapons. She's definitely not over yet.
Yeah, absolutely. Watch out for Serena. But Victoria Azarenka, beaten finalist. We'll talk about her again in a moment. As we mentioned, it has been a surreal year. It was a bit of a surreal event. Lots of big names for understandable reasons opting out. A guy who was there, of course, was Djokovic, hunting down Federer's record number of slams himself, well in contention. But it was a bit of a surreal event for him. Disqualified for, inadvertently, it seemed to me, striking a line judge. Just thoughts on the disqualification and, again, your overall impressions of the great man and his hunt of Federer's record.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's absolutely right. He was disqualified. You know, the rules are the rules. You can't hit, you know, you can't strike someone with a ball. You know, obviously it was a complete accident, but, you know, at the same time, and he wasn't aiming for it, but at the same time, he knows that, you know, that could happen. It's an element of bad luck to it, but the rules are the rules at the end of the day. And I think, you know, there have been other examples in the past where similar things have happened and he's nearly hit somebody, or I think even a couple of games prior, he smacked a ball against the back fence, obviously not hitting someone standing there, but he was a bit out of control. And, you know, there's talk that he was sort of taking on too much. He's trying to lead this new players council, sort of, you know, not trade union, but body of players for rights for players. And this, you know, I think he really beat himself, didn't he? He would have been, in my opinion, a shoe-in to probably win the event. So, yeah, rules are rules. Doesn't matter who you are. There shouldn't be exceptions for him or the other top guys. And that's life, really.
No, I think that's all very well assessed there. It did free up an opportunity, though, for a new name on the Grand Slam circuit, a new winner. And credit to Austria's Dominic Thiem. I think he's the first Austrian slammer and the first man born in the 1990s to win a slam.
That's right.
He'd lost his three previous major finals, went two sets down. So he showed great character to overcome another young talent, German 23-year-old Alexander Zverev. A great final, great advert for the game of tennis, I thought, but great character there from Thiem.
Yeah, I think he's been close before, hasn't he? I think he's been in the French Open final a couple of times. He's beaten Nadal on clay. Clay's his best surface. So he's always been touted as, you know, one of the next great, you know, one of the next champions or one of the next Grand Slam champions after those three guys. So it was, yeah, I mean, it was, to be honest, it was almost predictable that you'd have a Zverev and a Dominic Thiem final, because they're the next two guys, main guys, you know, contenders coming through. So yeah, you know, it's good that he, you know, he's made it. But the French will be interesting, actually, because I think that's just in a few weeks' time.
It is.
And he'll be on a hot form for that. And it'll be interesting to see what Nadal's like, having not played the US Open. And Djokovic may have a point to prove as well after maybe hopefully keeping the ball in his hand at the right times, you know.
It's mouthwatering, isn't it, though? But my goodness me, rule out Nadal at Roland Garros at your peril.
True.
I think he's only literally lost one match there. It's an astonishing record. I can't think of another man with a singular dominance over a singular event as Nadal at Roland Garros. But as you say, Thiem comes in with confidence. And of course, as you rightly say, Djokovic chasing down Federer, of course, as is Nadal. So it's going to be a mouthwatering Roland Garros. Looking forward to that in a few weeks' time. Just final point, though, on the men's trophy. I was delighted to see a new name on that silverware. And again, as you say, Thiem, long touted, losing his three previous major finals. There is talk, though, because of the unusual nature of it, that it could well be asterisked and therefore always in the history books, a little bit of a question mark over it. Personally, I really hope they don't do that, because at the end of the day, you can only beat what's in front of you. And I think credit to that young man who was long touted.
Yeah, absolutely right. I don't think they will. You know, I think Navratilova said something along the lines of, you know, we didn't sort of asterisk the Australian Open when hardly any players went down there because it's such a long journey. Mm-hmm. And there are other, you know, player strikes and so on over the years. At the end of the day, the record books are the record books. And all these guys can do is, you know, it's not their fault that the other players haven't entered it. If anything, they sniff an opportunity and all they can do is control what they can control and win, as you say, you know, play what's in front of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, I thought it was a wonderful advert for tennis, that final. And again, great character showed from Thiem. Went two sets down and just refused to lose. A great advert for the game of tennis, of course, is also Naomi Osaka, who is a wonderful quite nervous character, but has really grown up, I think, into a real leader, getting very comfortable in her kind of unique position, both as a preeminent player and, of course, in this kind of political heightened era, a thrust upon spokesperson for kind of underrepresented groups. She's world class, isn't she? Unbeaten in major finals as well. My word, 3 from 3.
Yeah, I think she won the US Open and an Australian Open back to back. I think straight after that, she parted company with her coach who had sort of helped her with that success, struggled for a while, struggled with the limelight and the expectation. It seemed to be that it might be a sort of flash in the pan, but yeah, she's obviously, got herself together and come back. And yeah, she's always had the sort of the tools to play really big tennis, and she's a worthy champion and young, future of the women's game. If she stays, stays sort of motivated and the right people around her.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I think that's kind of growing up, maturing quality is a reflection again in her quality on the court. That's never been in doubt, but that is a real powerful young woman with the world at her feet. At the other end of her career, we've already referenced Belarus's Azarenka, who, of course, knocked out Serena earlier in the piece. Credit to her for competing very strongly in that final. Again, that's the first final that she's been in since 2013. Took time out of the game, obviously, with pregnancy. Then it got a little bit murky. She was considering quitting the game. But she's come into 2020, the year of surreal affairs, with real form. I think she won a few games coming into this slam. And it's great to see Azarenka back. And as I say, she competed really strongly in that final.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been a fan of Azarenka. She's got an unbelievable intensity about her. She's really gutsy, a lot of fire, a lot of firepower as well. She's got, really big ground strokes. And she was dominating a number of years ago, I think. So, yeah, I'm really pleased to see her back. And also, it just goes to show that things don't always move on as quickly as people would imagine and guess. It was good to see her back. And I think, the fast courts are her, her sort of preference, but she hits the ball very flat and very hard. So it'd be interesting to see what she does on the clay, where usually you'd imagine that may be slightly neutralised by the surface.
Absolutely. Again, that's just literally a matter of weeks away now. Looking forward to a tantalising next slam out in Paris. Always good to talk at the very highest elite level of the game there with you, John. But your batch would do wonderful things feeding that up and, of course, do great things for all of the of us wanting to just get involved with a great game of tennis. Put us in the picture of what's happening at the moment, Batchwood-wise.
Yeah, so we're the centre themselves are doing a sort of phased return to tennis and to tennis opening. So the performance, as I said, we took on a new head of the regional program over the summer. We're now the biggest regional program player base in the country. So on that side, it's going extremely well. Some really exciting prospects and talent that literally started last week at the centre. So that's really great. So lots of planning there and schedules there at the moment. In terms of the sort of general tennis program, it's aiming to start again on the 28th of September. So that will be everything from sort of adults, adult advanced, adult beginners, children, tots, and so on. Because things have made the COVID situation has made things a bit of a struggle. So having to sort of phase things back, in terms of opening. We're trying to get along as best we can. There's lots of hand sanitizers around, there's some spacing, there's policies. The coaches on the performance side spent most of the summer at Rothamsted Park coaching up there. While the public could book courts outside at Batchwood, there was no indoor tennis allowed. Then it sort of gradually progressed from there until eventually we were allowed to coach in groups. It's definitely been a headache, but that's not sort of exclusive to tennis, is it? It's been a nightmare for everybody, but just hoping we can just sort of keep going and do the best we can, really, and cope the best we can. So that's it. So it's 28th of September onwards will be a phased return to community tennis up at Batchwood. So fingers crossed it goes well.
Excellent. As you rightly say, it's been a challenging time, and it sounds to me that you're very au fait with all government regulations and everything in place to make it a very nice, healthy, clean return to the programmes that you run. John, always, I know people love Batchwood. I know you're a massive part of our key sporting community and just fraternity, really, here in and around St Albans and Hertfordshire. How can we learn more and get involved with the website?
Yeah, so it's obviously www.onelife.co.uk, then select Batchwood as your centre. Also, there's a Facebook page, which is Support Batchwood Tennis and Golf, and messages there come straight through to myself, and I always forward them on to the, you know, the correct person, you know, if it's sort of general inquiries about tennis or if it's the performance side. Yeah, or the phone number is 01727 844 250. And we're doing our best to answer inquiries and drum things up again and rebuild.
Perfect. To be part of that rebuilding process, to get involved with a great game of tennis, or just simply to learn more. Once again, John, if you could remind us of the website and provide that number again, please.
Yeah, so it's www.onelife. So that's the number one, life.co.uk. The number is 01727 844 250.
Perfect. John, listen, I really appreciate your time as always. Sending our best wishes from myself personally, the whole team at Verulam Sport, to you and everybody involved at Batchwood. I look forward to picking things up with you, well, in a few weeks' time to dissect the upcoming enticing Roland Garros. But thanks for your time just now.
And you. Thanks for your time, Tony. Take care.